Get into the music.
Radio X.
Welcome to the Evening Show podcast. This week, it is slightly different as I was covering for Johnny Vaughan on the 4-7 thing. When I start doing this, Gav, I always want to sound like Johnny for some reason.
Why?
I don't know. I just start speaking at 4 million miles an hour. This episode contains some of the highlights from the week with Gav the Woman Woods, Dr. Cynthia Templeton, Big and Little Si. One of them is more important than the other.
That's right, yeah.
It contains, thanks to the Woodman, the Sky Goth, a wardrobe malfunction, useless facts, pudding rage, and a rock and roll shopping directory. I can't remember any of that happening. It must have been a good week. Enjoy!
Radio X.
Cynthia Templeton, the last time I came in to cover for Johnny,
yes,
you and I shared the pain of the announcement of a gig.
Mm.
It is Gordon's a Moron star, Jilted John.
Yeah.
But I know he's a moron.
What song?
Gordon is a moron. Gordon is a moron. Gordon is a moron.
Oh, man. Jilted John playing in London this evening. Cynthia Templeton's gone with her boyfriend, Liam. Gavin, do you think that's a song you could add to the set list for the Templetones?
Easily.
I think Johnny's got that
easily
in his vocal range, hasn't he?
Yeah, I reckon he could manage it, no problem.
Oh, man. So we talked, Cynthia and I talked about going to see the gig. You're actually going along tonight.
I'm actually going, yeah. It's the 40th anniversary, and I love it because the poster says, here we go again, 2, 3, 40.
Here we go again. Oh, that's nicely done, that, isn't it? Yeah. Hasn't been a good time for Gordon's recently. I don't know if you're aware of this. Everyone looks blankly. Because you take an interest in news and Gordon's, but I can tell you, according to ONS statistics, this is pretty upsetting. Let's see if I can find this.
I know the name Gordon means spacious fort.
Yes, that's what it does mean. But also means
are
trust.
You a spacious fort?
Just cast a glance across the side of the room.
No man is a spacious fort.
It's been a terrible time for Gordons recently because according to ONS statistics, my name, only 6 people were called Gordon in the last year.
Really?
Yes.
Only 6 baby Gordons
only
out
six
there.
Only 6 baby Gordons.
Your name's nearly as rare as mine.
Despite the hard work of Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
Another prominent Gordons, Gordon Strachan. But I was quite upset about that, especially when I found out that there were 6 Attilas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who knew?
It gets worse. 6 Diesels.
Diesels?
Diesels.
6 Diesels. That's the other name. And Riley's as well. R-H-Y-L-E-E.
Who's calling their child Attila?
I want to know. I think we need to find out. I mean, I always felt that it was kind of a
obviously, apart from Mr. and Mrs. The Hun.
It doesn't feel like a great club. I'm in there with the Keiths and the Derricks. I'm another Gordons. But I don't know. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like there's a healthy future. I remember the story a few years ago as well about the lowest ever number of Garys.
Mm.
Garys are dying out, everyone.
Yeah.
Are they?
Gordons
are
dying out.
They're endangered.
How many Suntas are there in the world?
Well, I was named after one, so there's 2.
And that's it.
Radio X.
So at the weekend, right, I've got to tell you about this, Gavin, since because I tend to find that I spend quite a lot of time with my big brother at weekends now.
Yeah.
And every time I see him, he's got another revelation for me. He's a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
And yesterday, he told me that he had decided to take a DNA test.
Okay.
Right.
And he's an intelligent guy, right? He's a dentist.
Yeah.
And he decided he'd seen an advert somewhere for this DNA test to find out about your family history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've heard about these.
So he presented the results last night to us.
Okay.
And I'm struggling to come to terms with
so
what are the percentages?
Where's your DNA from?
Go on.
Gavin, I'm 60% English.
Whoa!
Yes.
And down.
Entire fabric
60%
of my
60% as well, yes. Not 6%.
I think that's more English than I am.
That's a referendum
I think it's
shocker.
More English than I am.
Yeah.
Oh, well, are you sure you're the most English person in the room?
Yeah.
It gets even more interesting.
Okay.
Go on, what else?
So 60%
There
English.
Must be some Scandinavian in there.
20%, Gavin.
That's quite a lot.
How do you know that?
Because we're all it's North. Scotland, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. How do you know that? Gav, do you know my family? But here's the thing, 2% Middle Eastern.
Yeah, I think everyone's 2% African, aren't they?
Really?
Yeah, I think most people are 1 or 2%.
I just can't. I just think this is fascinating.
I know that I am 2% North African.
Right.
Which is bizarre, because I look Scandinavian.
You do, yeah. Well, I'm thinking now, maybe he's not my brother.
That's good point.
You know, there could be a bigger revelation here.
Oh, God, it is like Jeremy Kyle today.
Here's the thing, right? All you have to do, apparently, is get a little swab, take some saliva, and you get the results sent back to you.
Yeah.
I've got another idea for us in here, right?
Oh, God.
Shall we have a little dabble?
Yes, I'd love to do it.
Big Si, why do you look so nervous? Little Simon, royalty, of course.
Absolutely, oh, yeah.
It would be interesting, though, wouldn't it?
We could present ourselves. I'd really like to know, yeah.
Because since you are Scottish, aren't you, Dr. Sunita Templeton?
Of descent, yeah.
Yeah, you are, and you've got a tartan scarf on. That means you're 100% Scottish.
There we go.
Right, we're going to do it. We're definitely going to have that.
What's the other 18%, Gordon?
It's Scottish.
Okay.
It's Scottish, yeah, yeah. They're the alcohol section of my makeup, my genetic makeup. Earlier on, I was telling you about my surprise DNA test. My brother decided to do this on the internet, came back with some shock revelations. I'm 60% English.
I can't believe.
It's such hilarious. A big percentage.
He's no brother of mine. You've managed to do a little bit of very impressive, very efficient family
research. It was quick, research. Yeah. I remembered that my sister had done one for our family, so she sent me the results. So, I'll explain first of all, I was born in South Africa.
Right.
And of the two main groups that colonised South Africa, half were Dutch and half were English. But that includes Irish and Scottish and everything else.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I know it's hard to say, Gareth.
So here I am now. I live in England. I have a British passport, but this is my breakdown. I'm 71% British.
Right.
There we are.
I'm 11% Irish. I'm 8% East and West European, whatever that means.
East and West.
I know.
It's just European, isn't it?
So I could be a bit of, there could be a bit of Eastern European in there.
So
as
you're
well.
From Luxembourg then?
That's right. I'm 1% North African, like everyone.
Yes.
I'm also 1% Asian, which I wasn't expecting. I'm 1% Scandinavian. But the weirdest one for me is I'm 7% Spanish.
Ooh, olé.
Or as they put it, Iberian Peninsula. So that might include Portugal, I don't know.
The lethargy, without playing the national stereotypes, Gav, what part of your personality do you think reflects the Spaniard in you?
Se me sale la babita, yo no lo puedo evitar. Tú eres la mujer de mi vida.
I've seen Scarface as well.
Radio X.
You said that you spotted a business.
It always makes me laugh. Every time I drive past it, near where I live, there was a... It's not there anymore, actually. It was next to a Halfords. It was a Paul Simon Carpets. Which one of the reasons I laughed is because it sounds like a statement.
It does, doesn't it?
It sounds like some weird graffiti about what he's up to.
Did you ever just hang around waiting to see if he just came out whistling Bridge Over Troubled Water or something?
It's not the business you imagine him getting into.
You wouldn't think so. I could imagine being a florist. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Paul Simon podiatrist.
Or perhaps. A guitar maker or something.
Well, Gav, as always, you have provided the inspiration for yet another Johnny Vaughan style feature, which is why we want to create a rock and roll directory of companies, services or products with the same name as famous people. We are thinking
Paul Simon Carpets. Every day he does.
Just carpets. It can be a band or artist, an actor or a well-known sports personality, as long as it shares its name with celebrity. So, for example, now, this is going to sound like I'm claiming I'm famous, but there is a Gordon Smart's Haggis Hatchery in New Zealand.
In case anybody's interested. In New Zealand?
Have you sued them yet?
Well, I'm going to have a word about maybe a joint venture, Gav.
I think so, yeah.
We might have to retrace our footsteps on that, because now I'm 60% English.
That's a good point, yeah.
It might not be helpful to
you. You've got to stop admitting that, Gordon.
No, that's shocking. Sunita Templeton, are you aware of any businesses?
I can't think of any. No, I'm going to have a little think and see if I can come up with any, but I don't think I've seen any.
I'm hoping there's a carpenter that is called Carpenter.
Yeah, Richard Carpenter.
Called the Carpenters.
Richard and Karen Carpenter's Carpentry. Did you know that there's a Phil Collins bridal shop?
There can't be.
Oh, there's got to be a lot of bridal shop.
Yes, there's another one here. Robert Smith Landscaping and Gardener Maintenance.
Brilliant.
Here you go.
What, Gothic topiary?
Individual design to suit both taste and budget. You're right, foliage with a little bit of a goth theme by good old Robert Smith there. So if you're a business with a celebrity name or you know of one, please get in contact with the show. Text us 83936 or email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Dave in Rotherham says, I see this sign on the A1. It makes me laugh every time. Roy Walker Furniture.
Ah,
I wonder if that is just a sideline for Roy Walker.
So Roy's
doing
that.
We've got to be careful. We're not just imagining it's nothing to do with them.
Yeah. Just promoting Roy's business, aren't we? I like this one. Michael Jordan Caravans.
Does he?
Radio X.
Gav, I look forward to this because every day on this show, you give us a hero.
I do.
And Monday's a special day because I believe it's Raptor Hero Time.
It is. So, Gordon, we've had the Black Hawk.
Yes.
We've had the Bat Hawk. But today we're going back to eagles. We haven't had an eagle for ages. Today's raptor is the Black Eagle, or as I like to call it, the Sky Goth. Here you go. Here's a picture of one. I'm going to show Gordon while
the
I...
Sky Goth.
They're awesome looking things.
Yes.
So they're about 80 centimetres high, pretty tall. They don't weigh much, only 3.5 pounds. They've got a wingspan of 1.8 metres, and they soar very slowly. They've got very widespread flight feathers, as you can see in the flying pictures. They're large, slender eagle, all black plumage with a large, well-spread-out primary feathers, helping the Sky Goth to slowly soar, looking for prey, which it does a lot. There's a group of people in Darjeeling, the Lepcha people, who call it the bird that never sat down. So it's always soaring.
That's phenomenal.
It's got massive curved claws and a wide gaping beak because it's perfect for picking up eggs. It loves stealing eggs.
Right.
It eats mammals, birds and eggs, including young bonnet macaque monkeys. Johnny's going to miss out on that. And including Indian giant squirrels. You ever seen an Indian giant squirrel?
A squirrel?
Squirrel.
Yes, the
first
of the week.
They're amazing looking things, really? Multicoloured squirrels. It's got a unique habit that it shares with the swallow-tailed kite. Guess what it does? Sometimes it doesn't steal the eggs. Sometimes it picks up the whole nest, whether it's got hatchlings or eggs in it, and flies away, just like a takeaway.
Huh?
When you're getting a curry, you don't just hold your hands out, do you? They give you a bag.
Yes.
So that's what's unique about the Black Eagle. It picks up the whole nest sometimes.
The Sky Goth.
That's right. They live in the Himalayas, southern India, southern China, and Indonesia. They're all from around that area.
Gav, I've not got a lot of raptor knowledge, but I can offer you a little bit today.
Go on.
I only learned this on Friday because I was sitting next to a really interesting farmer on a plane.
Wow, there's an opening line.
Yeah, and he looked out the window and he said, do you know why these wings have those little sort of tips on the end?
Those little wings, they're exactly the same thing as the flight feathers on
Correct.
A bird.
Yeah. And because it stops turbulence.
That's right.
That's why I learned.
It's the same reason you get those little winglets on the edge of a wing on a Formula One car.
Yes.
It just breaks up the turbulence.
Oh, Gav, you're
amazing.
Oh, it's wasted knowledge. It's why weren't you on Pointless at the weekend?
Yeah, good point. It should have been me and Johnny and not Toby.
Is your dad not Tarrant? Gavin Tarrant? Only kidding. So Gav, tell me a little bit more about this. What do you call it? The Sky Goth?
I call it a Sky Goth because it's just all black. I've never seen a fully black eagle before. It's a tall, proper-sized eagle, and there isn't any much other colour on it apart from the claws and the beak, which are yellow.
Well, I think, Gav, given its amazing hunting habits, its love of eggs and stealing nests, I think we should, at this point,
salute the Black Eagle.
This salute.
Sky Goth. We salute you.
Radio X.
So we're creating a directory in Johnny's absence. So I'm just going to open this directory. Page one, right in front of me here. I've got my pen out. So rock and roll directory of companies, services or products with the same name as famous people. So if David Grohl happened to open a haberdashery shop, we'd be talking about it right now and adding it to our journal. So first entry, Ian Brown, painter and decorators in Blackpool. That's from Si. Thank you very much. We've run off into a rabbit hole of F-E-A-R. Acronyms, I think we're going to say. For every Artex removal.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. 1980s interior design tips there from Gordonsmart. Gavin, have you got one for us?
Nolan's Transport just has to be the best sister-loving way to get deliveries done, according to Stee and Lee. Nolan's Transport.
Come on, Suits, what have you got for
No name on this, but it's absolutely genius. Number ends 334. One of the contractors we have where I work is called Carpenters Electricians, which gets a little confusing. That light doesn't work. Call the Carpenters.
Oh, I'm befuddled.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good though. Carpenters, electricians, very good. How have we got? Gordon Ramsay's oven cleaners in Bishop Auckland.
Can you hire an oven cleaner?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you can. Yeah.
Oh, I need one of them.
Industrial oven cleaners.
I'm going to give Gordon Ramsay a call.
Effing good service or something along those lines. That's safe, Simon? Yes, no. Go on, Gavin Woodman, what have you got for us?
Apparently, according to number ending 734, there is a driving instructor in Macclesfield called Jeff Capes.
I think that's just Jeff Capes, though.
I think it might
I'm
be
pretty
Jeff
sure
Capes.
That might be Jeff Capes.
I've loved Jeff Capes when I was growing up.
I love him too.
I'd like to be taught to drive by Jeff Capes.
Yeah, he used to be a policeman near where I grew up.
Really?
In Suffolk, yeah.
That's good. Do you know what his trick was? Do you remember it on Record Breakers where he used to hold, was it cereal packets?
Was it?
28 cereal packets between his arms. Such a big wingspan. What else have we got here? There's a James Oliver Landscape Gardener in Horley near us. Makes me smile every time I see the van. That's Mark in Horley. He's also sent us some information for the company.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you think Jamie Oliver would take the hump if there's a little bit of a borrowing of his language, like pucker, you know, pucker gardening?
Love that.
He'd have something to say.
This one from Ryan says there's a hair salon in Cheam in Surrey called David Cameron Hair. Oh. Which I don't think's the person you want.
Nobody wants David Cameron hair.
I'll have the David Cameron, please.
That's all we do at David Cameron hair.
Just everybody in Cheam looks like David Cameron. Well, actually. Go on then, Gaff, what have you got for us?
My favourite one from today so far. This is from Bristol. There's no name on this one because it's a tweet. It says, there's a Michael Bolton flooring in Bristol.
Michael Bolton? I can tell you who it's from. It's from Neil Webber.
Oh, is it?
Okay, Twitter.
Brilliant. Wouldn't it be great if the guy turned up and looked like Mike? Didn't look like him, didn't resemble him.
But long mullet. Yeah,
he had the mane of hair.
Definitely.
Gav, this is special. This is special goods. There's a driving instructor in Southport called Samuel L. Jackson. And if you can't...
I bet that must be his real name. Yeah, and he must have the initial L, because he wouldn't have used it otherwise, would he?
If you can't master your three-point turn, then he will strike down upon you with a furious vengeance. That is amazing. How disappointed would you be when the other Samuel L. Jackson turns up?
Oh, that's brilliant.
Weirdly, though, he made a film up there, didn't he, Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes, he did.
51st State or something.
That's right, yeah. It was set in Manchester in London or something, wasn't it?
I think Liverpool as well. He loved it so much, he set up a driving instructing school just on the side. Gav, what have you got for us?
Rob, funnily enough, from Southport, says there was a bed and breakfast called Tom Jones Bed and Breakfast. On the advert, it said, come sleep with Tom Jones.
It's entirely innocent. Rob, if you need any driving lessons... Remember, Samuel L. Jackson's just around
the corner. Right there on the spot.
Oh, this is phenomenal. Andrew Alexander on Twitter says, there's an estate agent in Edgware called Taylor Hawkins Estate Agents.
God, he gets up to so much. You know?
If you're interested in a house that's destroyed by a rock and roll drummer, Taylor Hawkins is your man. Go on, Cinta, have you got another one for us?
Kieran from Halifax says, there's a Keith Richards Antiques in Taunton. I am there this weekend.
Radio X.
Did you see the picture the other day of Tom Grennan with Jerry Cinnamon?
No.
Tom and Jerry.
Oh, of course.
It's got to happen, hasn't it?
They should tour together, yeah.
It's got to happen. Now, in the next hour on the 427 thing, I'm looking for some advice, some help from the good people of the 427 thing. It might be little size. It might be a chance for you to shine, actually. I've bought a shirt to go to an event tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the buttons work. Does that sound ridiculous?
Yeah.
You've got
does.
A shirt you can't operate.
Allow me to explain, Gav. You're correct. You're absolutely correct, right? This is how stupid I've been. I bought a shirt.
Yeah.
And it's a dress shirt, a really posh sort of dress shirt, right?
Yeah.
And the buttons seem to be connected by a little bit of silk somehow.
Okay.
But they're not actually connected to the shirt. Now, the last time...
Oh, they're like cufflinks.
Kind of, yeah.
The buttons are like cufflinks.
The last time I wore it, every time I sat down, it just opened up.
Sounds like a terrible shirt. Are you sure it hadn't been returned because it was faulty?
It's just
pretentious nonsense, Cinta. I'm going to bring it upstairs.
Okay.
I'm going to show it to you. And I'm hoping little Si, who's clearly been to many black tie events...
Oh, yeah.
...will explain to me that I'm a fool... A working class fool.
It shouldn't be a problem for you, Gordon, with your abs, though.
Well,
if the shirt just opens up, you know.
I'm Gordon Smart, and I'm really pleased that I'm not as stupid as I thought I was today. Twice I've worn a dress shirt to various events. Twice it's opened up every time I sat down to reveal what is an unusual configuration of chest hair.
Also, sitting down is not when you want it to open up.
No. And also when you've just eaten too much.
So you've got a fancy do tonight.
Fancy do tonight after
black
the show.
Black tie.
Black tie.
And this shirt, I've never seen anything like
it. I've never seen that
either. Talk us through it, Cinta. Give us your...
So the buttons, well, there's holes on both sides, so it's almost like you could choose which side to dress on with the buttons along the front of the shirt.
That's curious to start with, isn't
it?
It's weird, yeah, yeah.
But the buttons are actually... They're
all on a length of silk all the way down one side. Yeah,
it's a piece of white ribbon on the inside, and they're all attached to the ribbon. But the ribbon's kind of loose, so if you took them all out of the holes, it would just be a piece of ribbon with buttons on.
Yeah, yeah,
it's very odd.
So I've never seen anything like that.
I'm so embarrassed to ask at the shop because I don't want to look stupid. Can you just talk me through how the shirt works, please?
Somebody who's listening will know. I've got a horrible feeling you might have missed a trick where you're actually supposed to then get them sewed on.
You know something that makes me feel a little bit better about this? I happened to be at a do once where Michael Fassbender was.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the foil bits on all the buttons. and he didn't realise that that had been done by the dry cleaner.
He
thought it was just a little bit of the outfit.
Right. See.
Just a detail on the suit. Yeah.
You might want to take the little yellow safety pin off that. It's just come out of the dry cleaner. Anyway, please help me. Can somebody give me some advice? I don't know how it works, and I've got 45 minutes to get ready.
Okay.
Where's a tailor when you need one?
I know.
You know the most disappointing thing?
What?
Once again, little Si. You know, he's a man who's worn a Benedict Cumberbatch or whatever it's called. Was it a cumberbund?
He's no stranger to the cravat or the cummerbund.
Yes, and the monocle.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you not know, little Si?
I've got no idea. I mean, who buys a shirt that's like that?
Oh, that voice. That'll be me. Play a song.
Simon, can you ring one of your relatives, like the Viscount?
Give him
of,
a Chinese burn for that, Gordon.
Yeah, ring somebody in the West Wing.
Radio X.
This is the 407 thing, and I'm Gordon Smart, covering Johnny Vaughan this week. Johnny's off on holiday, and I normally occupy the evening show between 7 and 10, but luckily got in this week to cover for Johnny. On the evening show, there's a question I ask all the guests who come in. It's called Slash Gordon. It's a terrible pun. It's a really poor, lowbrow book that I'm writing at the moment, Gav.
It's Route 1, yeah.
I think we've got about 250 examples now.
Have you?
So let me explain a Slash
Quite a collection,
Gordon.
Yeah.
It was inspired by an evening. I was out in London and I was in a bathroom.
Yeah.
And there was nobody else in there, just me. Big old bathroom in a posh old place. Mm. And I heard a lot of people suddenly funnel into the bathroom.
Right.
That's unusual. Who would come with an entourage into the bathroom?
Yeah.
And a large presence appeared beside me. And started going to the toilet. I looked round.
You were at the urinal.
I was at the urinal, yeah. Standing at the urinal. Popped just a little look over my shoulder.
Yep.
And there was Sean Connery.
No!
Who is one of my heroes, right? A big hero. And I looked at him and thought, I can't believe this has happened. I've got to take this chance while I have it. And I said, Sean, can I just say it's a real honour to meet you? And he looked at me, paused and said, no, it's not really the time, is it, Sean?
I'm having a slash.
And I just thought, that's good enough for me.
It's good enough. That's
but then
brilliant.
I wandered off thinking, I wonder who the most famous person Sean Connery's had a pee beside. And that started the whole
idea. It's a
good
question.
And, you know, we've asked this question so many times now, and we've had some brilliant answers. What we tend to find is the more famous the person, they really run with the story. They really go for it. They tell a great tale. And Johnny Vaughan's been an answer, actually.
Oh, yeah, has he?
I think Jack Nicholson.
Oh, really?
Actually, it was Johnny Vaughan. She had a pee next to Jack Nicholson. But you know where I'm going. Anyway, we just played Queens of the Stone Age. Joshua Homme is a formidable human being.
He's huge.
Since his friend. He's about 6'5". Last time he came in here, he had a cane because he had a broken knee or something like that.
Right, yeah.
He's an imposing character. And I plucked up the courage to ask Joshua Homme about his Slash Gordon.
You've been an answer already. Biffy Clyro, Jim Johnson, said it was a very intimidating moment, and he said that Josh Homme cast a shadow. That's how he put it. So, Josh, may I ask you who the most famous person is you've bumped into standing next to at urinal?
I'm trying to think. You know, we were talking about the other night when John first joined the band, and we went to Berlin, and he'd been in the band about a week, and I happened to pee in the turnstile of the hotel in Berlin, and the guy was like, you can't do that, and I said, it's done, man, it's done.
The obvious ones there, obviously, Mr. Grohl and Mark Ronson, possibly.
Well, I've peed on Dave and he's peed on me. I feel like that's well known. And frankly, I quite like peeing next to Dave. It's one of the things I like the most because it's got that backbeat, you know what I mean?
So frustrating because he told about 30 stories after that about bathroom antics that had happened, but he didn't remember Benny Kassim was into Templeton, unfortunately.
That wasn't in a bathroom though, can I point that out?
Yeah, since it doesn't go into the men's toilets.
Who?
I was there. I did have a pee beside Josh Homme.
Did you?
Benny Kassim, yeah, just after you'd poured tequila into
it. I drank tequila with him.
Yeah. You never mentioned it before. Gav, I've been looking forward to getting this answer from you for a long time because you've played in bands, you've seen a bit of the world, you must have a great Slash goal.
I've got three.
Oh yes, come on.
So, and I'll do the first two quickly because the third one is the more interesting one. Right. I peed next to Neil Tennant at a rehearsal studio once.
Tennant
from Pet Shop Boys
and former Smash Hits editor.
That's right. Liam Gallagher at a pub in Primrose Hill.
Yep. Any conversation?
And we ended up staying. We all hung out for the whole evening. In the end,
right,
it was quite funny.
Yeah.
But the best one I ever did was I went to see Tribe Called Quest at Hammersmith, what was then Odeon.
Yeah.
And I waited for quite a popular song to go to the bathroom so there wouldn't be any queue.
Right.
So I went in there and I was on my own at the urinal, and during the song, Can I Kick It by Tribe Called Quest, I was surrounded by Run DMC.
No.
So next to me was Run, and he's unmistakable. He had the gear on. on the other side was DMC and Jam Master Jay and all their entourage, another two or three of them. And so we're all standing at the urinal, and Run goes, "Can I kick it?" And they all go, "Yes, you can.
Oh! Gaff, did that actually happen?
I'm not lying. It's all true. Radio
X. Gaff, three times I've worn this dress shirt. Haven't figured it out.
I can't believe this is the third time you're wearing it.
Third time.
And you've only now found out how to wear it.
You know when you think, I'll get this. It'll come to me.
It is a bit like an IQ test, that shirt. If so, you don't know.
There's a string of a little bit of ribbon.
Yeah.
Five buttons on it.
Yeah.
The dress shirt doesn't have any buttons on it. Mm. And I haven't mastered how to get them to anchor, to hold on. But Gav, I'm hoping with the good help of the 4 to 7 people that you've got the answer for me.
We have. And they're all sort of the version of the same answer.
Yeah.
It's a dress shirt, so you need studs. I didn't know that.
Did you know that?
I've never had what's called a tuxedo shirt or a dress shirt. So. Yeah. If it's a tuxedo shirt, mate, the studs come separately.
Yes.
That's from Brian. And, you know, Gordon's, are they studs or buttons? Well, we didn't know till now.
I didn't realise that. Did you know that, Cinta?
No, I've heard of shirt studs, but I've never bothered to find out what they were.
Me neither.
Big size of sartorial gentleman. Can we get a nod? Were you aware of this phenomenon? Kind of. Little Si?
We had suspicions.
I've never heard of it.
You have let your family down.
Little Si's lying there.
You will never be able to return to the West Wing again and hold your head up high. How very dare you. Well, Big Si, thank you very much. A producer, a proper producer.
This was a quite a feat, yeah, because he disappeared, felt like about, 45 seconds?
Must have been. Came back. He's got dress studs for me.
He found a shop outside.
Cinderella will go to the ball tonight.
Yeah. have the correct buttons on his shirt.
When I worked in newspapers, we used to nip out and see who could get a pint the quickest and get back to their desk. You did that.
Drink it and back.
Drink it and back.
Just so it doesn't seem like they've gone to the pub.
Meeting room 6. Did you manage to squeeze a pint in as well? Yes. Good man. Producer side. Radio X. He's the show's whipping boy. A constant thorn in the side of the 4 to 7 thing. But after days of hassling me, bothering me, hanging around outside my house, I've decided to give Little Si some airtime.
Good evening.
Oh dear.
What's going on?
Pipe down. Listen, that wasn't part of the plan. In return for a piece of his rather dry carrot cake last week, I promised to bring back what he describes as a legendary feature.
Don't do it.
Legendary.
What's going on?
Don't do it.
Hold on. Right, now the pressure is on, Little Si. I've warned you before we came on air, there is a Chinese burn, a monkey rub, if you don't get this right.
Okay.
So it's time for Little Si to impress us with something interesting in the mind-blowingly brilliant feature... What the fact?
Fact. Did you know there are 2,618 toilets in Wembley Stadium, more than any other venue in the world?
Wow, he's just blown my mind.
There we go.
So. What are you doing, Gordon?
What is going on?
2,000 toilets to flush Simon's head down. Radio X. So we are still on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. So far, we have discovered some perlers, some beauties. A man who played football so badly, he got the nickname The Fireman. Everything he touched went out, Gaff. It's great, isn't it? Graham, who's nicknamed Bexley.
I love this one.
Graham's nicknamed Bexley, but he has the hair of David Beckham, but the face of Peter Beardsley.
Aww.
What a shame for Peter Beardsley. Eh? Once shouted horrible things to him at a football game. I feel bad.
Did you?
Yes. And Philip, whose desk at work is so messy, his nickname is Landfill. That's brilliant.
Oh, that's great.
That's really good, isn't it? And already tonight we discussed the draft, who can get in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You get the gist of it. Keep them coming. 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation, because otherwise...
It's just a name.
We could do with polishing that.
That did not go well.
It went really badly.
Should we just try that
one more time?
Let's
do it again, yeah.
Keep them coming in to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation...
Otherwise, it's just a name.
Seamless, like a harmony, the finest harmony you'll ever hear. Rod, Jane and Freddie of Radio X here. Gav, have you got a nickname for us?
I have. This one's from Kelly in Kent. I work in a school and we had a night out at the weekend. We went to a Wetherspoons pub in Rochester. One of our sports lads downloaded the app and ordered a round of shots to be delivered to our table. Unfortunately, he sent them to a Wetherspoons in Watford. He is now known as...
Watford.
Oh, that is brilliant.
That's it.
What's happening in the world where you have to order your drinks on an app?
It's better than Watford. Queuing at the bar.
That's where all the magic happens, Cynta. That's where the conversation starts. Go on, Cynta, have you got one for us?
This is from Matt, who's in Uckfield, who says, I work with a bloke called James Nye. His nickname is Golden. We even hum the Bond theme tune whenever he walks past.
Golden Eye. That is excellent. Right, here's another one. Matt from Mansfield. Right. There were five of us working together and we started to get hungry. So we sent Tony to get some breakfast for us. He came back, two slices of toast. Quite how he thought we'd share that between five blokes, I don't know. In the weeks after, he would try and make up for it by bringing us bacon sandwiches, sausage sandwiches, but the damage was done. He is and shall be forever known as Two Toast Tony. It's crazy. It reminds me of another one. There's a guy called Paul Worsley, who's Ant and Dec's agent. He also looks after, I think, Paddy McGuinness.
Right.
And Paddy McGuinness had gone in for a chat with him about his, you know, next TV project, his next voice, or whatever it was. It was a really hot summer's day, and Paul Worsley, not a poor man, had a Magnum ice lolly. He had two bites and threw it in the bin.
What?
From that day onwards, he was two bites. I mean, imagine the wealth where you can only... Who's never finished a Magnum ice cream?
No one never finishes
it's just this great...
He should just buy the mini Magnums.
Exactly.
What's the matter with him?
So that's practical advice from the Woodman there. Very good stuff. Keep those nicknames coming in, 83936, or just tweet us at Radio X.
Radio X.
Last night, people might have been singing a similar lyric to you.
Yeah, because I was dreading last night. Because every time I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be going home soon, I realised I had to carry a child's bicycle on the tube and the train. And I cracked my ankle about it. It's got stabiliser wheels on it. So, yeah, it was really
There's
awkward.
There's no easy way to carry
that.
No,
do you know what I had to do on the escalator? I had to face backwards with it doing a wheelie. With the back brake on, so it didn't move. It looked like I was posing for a mountain bike fresh air shot, but with a little tiny pink kid's girl's bike.
Full disclosure, Gav, at any stage on the journey home, did you just take a little seat on the bike and pedal?
No, I'm too tall. I'm way too statuesque for that.
Man. And it made it home in one piece as well.
It did, yeah. I found a spot on the train that didn't hurt anyone. Because I had to keep using the wide barriers, you know, when you go through barriers just to get through. It was really heavy.
You're that guy, everyone was thinking, why has he got that?
And I would have been like that. I would have been thinking, what's he doing carrying that on the train?
You know what, Gav, I've done a couple where I really regret. I had golf clubs, two suitcases and a dog.
And the dog,
in one go?
Yeah, and it was a bank holiday on the train. And I thought my dog had died. And I rushed them to the vet and thought, what's wrong? I thought he'd eaten rat poison or something.
Right.
And they said, have you done anything unusual with the dog today? And I said, well, just a 9-hour journey on the train from Edinburgh. He's a puppy.
That'll do it.
And honestly, the panic. But the doctor performed a procedure, which I won't describe on air.
What, on you?
Oh, no. He would have got a big fright if he tried that on me, Gavin, I tell you. But he remarkably sprung back to life.
Oh, poor little thing.
Yes, I bet he was okay. But I remember.
Is that the most awkward thing you've ever carried on a train?
No, my missus bought cheese and Harrods once as a present for her dad because he likes stinky cheese.
Oh, stinky cheese.
Dear God, Gav.
And when it hums, it really hums.
How long was the journey?
I'd say a good 8 hours.
Oh,
King's Cross to Edinburgh. It was Christmas as well, so the train was packed. Everyone's looking around going, who is it? I think I might have gone and sat in a different carriage.
Yeah, I would have had to.
Yeah, it's just not acceptable, is it? We should ask people, actually. What's the worst thing you've taken?
Has anyone managed a fridge or, you know, like a gas hob?
I've moved partly using the buses in London because I'd actually moved to just somewhere a bit further down the same street, a couple of bus stops along. So I was like, well, I mean,
ironing
if it
board,
goes in an IKEA
telly,
bag, I can take it on the bus. And I did a few trips like that.
That's all you need. Gav, you've played in bands. You must have carried heavy kit around.
I once did Heathrow to Camden with two guitars, my luggage bag, and a big bag full of pedals, which was really heavy. And I had to do it in relay. And I had to not lose sight of any of it because it was all expensive. So
15
I had to put
steps
it down,
at a time.
Do 20 yards, run back, grab the other one because my fingers were pulling off. And then by the time I got to London, I had to get it up out of the tube station and then back down the hill into Camden where I was living.
Absolutely.
It was
superb.
Horrible.
Why not text us yours on 83936? Get in touch. What's the most ridiculous thing you have taken on a train or on a journey as you move house, get back home at Christmas, whatever it is? Get in touch, 83936 and at Radio X. So you got one there?
Yeah, this is coming from Buckaroo. We once transported 3 4-foot air con condenser units from Cockfosters to Throckmorton Street on mostly the tube. That was no easy day.
Oh, God. Imagine if that was one of those really hot summer days as well. Yeah. That would have been horrible. Oh,
dreadful, dreadful. Gav, go on.
Sean says he's got, he took a 3-rung ladder about 10 foot in length on the tube from Victoria to Pimlico. It's not a long journey, he says, but an awkward one.
I bet it was. I've just remembered another one. My dad once bought wardrobe doors in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And then drove
just
us back.
Just the doors?
Just the doors.
Yeah.
Just the doors and the runners.
Yeah.
And he put them on top of the car, which was a Renault at the time, I remember.
Yeah.
And then sort of strapped it on the roof.
No roof rack.
No roof rack. Strapped
just
on with
bungees.
Bungees.
Yeah.
And then drove us back across the Forth Bridge. Which was terrifying, Gaff.
With wind whipping across.
Yeah, like a makeshift glider. No, that's just not responsible parenting. Yes. What was he doing? Go on, Sue, you got another one.
Wendy says, I took a 7-foot wooden giraffe.
This is
sorry,
great.
A 7-foot wooden giraffe from South Africa on the tube on the way back from holiday, but the neck got stuck in the door and it broke.
How do you bring that back?
Yeah, what
how
about the plane?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. How did you get it on the
plane?
It
must have come out of baggage reclaim on the on the belt.
Excuse me, is this your giraffe?
Yeah, that really is outside baggage.
I think that's my one, actually.
Go on, Gav, you got another one.
I love this one here. This one's from Dawn in London. She had a life-size cardboard cutout of Peter Andre as a Christmas gift for her little sister.
Oh, that's brilliant. Good. Soon, so what have you got for us?
This is my favourite. Martin M says, I DJ'd in Cavos in 1991. I took a bus from Victoria and I had a big rucksack, 2 record boxes and a full-size cardboard cutout of Madonna. My journey took 5 days.
The obvious question is why?
And which Madonna?
And which Madonna?
In 1991, it could have been Cone Bra Madonna, which is awkward.
Gautier Madonna, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you think it's a 2D sort of cutout? Or do you think there's going to be sort of... just got doing that with my
hands.
Don't
make that motion with your
sorry,
hands.
Sorry.
Don't do that.
Terrible.
Look like Gav, you're selling ice creams.
Help me out, Gav.
I love this one here from Adam in Leeds. I once had to take 60 kilos of luggage home with me from Switzerland, where I was a snow park shaper. We're talking snowboards, boots, helmet and luggage via train and trekking through the mammoth that is Geneva Airport. To put it in perspective, that's 10 stones worth of stuff. That's a whole person.
How'd you carry
it's a couple
that?
Of little size,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
That's almost two little size.
Imagine trying to get that one past Ryanair. That'll be £4 million, please, sir, for that ticket. So picture the scene on this one, right? Jay from Stockport doing his job, right? He's driving. Yeah. He says, I drove a doctor's skeleton from Liverpool to Manchester in the front seat of a van, and I added a fag in one hand, baseball cap on as well. Made a few people laugh. He just customised it there. You can imagine yourself driving past there, can you? What are you up to there? Go on.
This one's from Rita. She says, years ago, I took the Hammersmith and City Line train on my way to my hairdressing course. I had no clients booked in our training salon for the day, so I carried my, quote, training head stroke doll head to practice highlights on it. I carried it in a tote bag, which I put on the seat next to mine. The next thing I know, a middle-aged lady starts screaming out of horror, claiming there's a severed human head in the bag. This may have been the unconscious reason I changed my career plans and went on a music business course instead. So I never really became a hairstylist, but I kept the doll head for a while, and I used it to freak my flatmate out by leaving it in the shower with ketchup all around it.
Radio X. So, Gav, yesterday on the show, we were talking about a wardrobe disaster that I had, right? I bought a posh shirt, which was a mistake to start with.
It was, someone called it a tuxedo shirt.
Oh, it was way beyond me.
I couldn't figure it out either.
I made the mistake of being talked into buying something by a posh man whose name was Sixton.
No. What?
That's genuinely...
Not his first name.
He's a lovely fella, actually. You know, his first name is Sixton.
First name was Sixton.
Yeah, his first name was Sixton. And he talked me into buying this shirt, which I clearly didn't understand. It had a ribbon with buttons attached, which I will now present as evidence.
Yeah. Which it turns out that's a temporary arrangement.
Yeah, that's for the dry cleaning purposes.
Right, okay.
Holds it together while it's getting cleaned.
Right.
Anyway, when you take it out, it leaves a number of holes.
Yeah.
Which we learned yesterday, you have to fill with studs.
Yep.
Producer Si did the business, ran out into Soho and produced some dress studs for my shirt.
I might add, within one song.
It was unbelievable.
It was ridiculously fast.
So he saved the day.
Yeah.
And Cinderella was ready for the ball. So I got myself dressed last night, realised the shirt was too small.
Ah.
Yeah. Got the shirt on, then realised No cufflinks.
Oh, no.
You're kidding. Yes. That's how disorganised I am. So I had dress studs for the front of the shirt.
You've got to keep your jacket on then, haven't you?
Yeah. So I'm hoping that Big Si's going to do the business for me with the expenses and claim them back as well. But within this cufflink case,
right,
I have the number of studs I returned from the ball with last
okay, so
night.
How many did you go out with?
So are we guessing?
Yes.
Okay, you started with what?
Started with five.
Five.
Started with five studs.
I'm
buttoned
guessing...
myself up. It was tight. It was very tight.
I'm going to go for two.
Yeah, I wanted to say so two, but two. I'll take three. Go on,
you
I'll
go
guess
for three,
three.
Gav. I'm going to show fingers here, digits, please, Big Si. He's gone for four.
Right.
Little sight. Actually,
you've
not we don't
seen
really
how chubby Gordon is, Big Si.
That was harsh.
I can tell you.
Right, how many?
We have, you were close, but not quite right. We have one.
Yep.
And a half studs.
One and a half.
One and a half studs
what
there.
What happened?
Basically, just too fat for my shirt.
Did you did you sit down and they popped off?
Yeah, well, there was a warning sign. There was a warning sign before I left last night. Got myself dressed and the lads were watching, laughing.
Right.
Really supportively laughing at me. And I dropped something on the floor and tried to pick it up and then realised that I was sort of bending from the knees with the back.
Like you had a truss on.
Yeah. I was awful. I was starved of oxygen for most of last night. And there were people at our table. You know, Anna Wheelhouse, that she's called. She's a brilliant Sky Sports presenter.
Mm.
She looked immaculate last night.
Yeah.
Like an extra from the Robert Palmer Addicted to Love
right,
video.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And I was sitting there like trying not to breathe going, you're great on the telly.
Were you avoiding food and stuff like that?
I was going to say, did you make sure you didn't eat or drink anything?
One spoonful of dinner. Four bottles of wine since.
Oh, come on.
Nah, it wasn't that much. It was just something in the region of two or three. But yeah, the lesson learned here, don't buy posh shirts. Just stick to Next.
Just get something that fits, I think, which already has buttons attached.
Don't go shopping without a responsible adult. That's another part of it as well. Anyway, the agony's over. I can move on. I'm in a t-shirt today and I'm comfortable.
Radio X.
Gav, every day on the 4-7 thing, you select a hero. Would you like to carry on and tell us about the man or the woman who will inspire us today?
I love this one. This is a story from this week's papers, Gordon. The hero today is a man called Reggie Nelson. He's only 22 years old.
Right.
But he did something very, very enterprising. He was born and raised on a council estate in Woolwich in East London. He was raised by his mum after his dad passed away. He'd been excluded from school at 14. He was getting in trouble with the police as a young teenager. And then he saw a TV show, an American TV show called How Did You Get So Rich?
Yes.
It was a Joan Rivers TV show where she was interviewing people. They're all telling their stories about how they got successful. So he then decided to Google, and this is the quote of what he Googled. He Googled richest area in London.
Right.
Google fed him a very accurate answer, Gloucester Road in Kensington and Chelsea Borough.
Yep.
He was only 18. And he decided to get the tube down there and he walked house to house, knocking on doors to ask them what skills and qualities they had to get to be so successful that they could afford to live
yes.
on Gloucester Road in Kensington and Chelsea. And he wanted to extrapolate the answers and use it for himself. He got generally polite but generic answers about, study hard, basically. Uh-huh. But eventually he met one woman, Elizabeth Price. She invited him in for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
She then introduced him to her husband, who is a senior financier in the city. And her husband, Quintin, set him up with a week's work experience at the institute he worked at. And he then went to one of those undergraduate sort of get to know the company weeks where people who are just about to graduate from Cambridge and Oxford get to join the city. But he was 18. He was still doing his A-levels and he realized that he was still young enough to actually get into university and get through. And so four internships and a degree later, he's now an investment analyst in the city from having knocked on doors on foot to find out how to do it.
That is sensational.
Absolutely
Gavin.
Brilliant. So fast.
That's amazing.
4 years later, he's already got himself a really decent job.
Yeah.
And he did it just from an idea.
That's brilliant. Two things spring to mind immediately.
Go on.
Some journalistic license. They said he knocked on doors. Now, let's be honest. He pressed buzzers, didn't he?
Of course he did,
He pressed buzzers. The second thing, it's just as well he didn't knock on Johnny Vaughan's door. He lives around there, doesn't he?
That's true. He would have got an earful. He would.
Yeah, poor Reggie Nelson's career took a really bad turn for the worse after speaking of Johnny Vaughan on the doorstep.
But talk about route one.
It's brilliant, though, isn't
Instead
it?
Of thinking stage by stage, you thought, I'll just go to the end result and find out what they did.
Gav, I just worry now as well that 3,000
women
are on their way now to Gloucester Road to go knock on doors. You know what? Reggie Nelson, the 4-7 thing, we salute you, sir.
Brilliant.
Good man. And Reggie, if you are listening, lend us a tenner, mate.
Radio X.
This is the 4-7 thing on Radio X, and I'm about to throw open the doors to the Department of Petty Rage. And earlier on this afternoon, I discovered that Gavin, the woodman, Mr. Woods over there, we share a petty rage problem, Gavin.
We do, yeah, we found that out.
It's a specific one, this. It's yeah. The use of the word literally.
When it's not applicable.
Oh, man. I saw somebody a very intelligent politician, I think it was, who said they were literally dying inside the other night.
Oh
my God.
Which isn't what you want to happen on TV.
I heard a cricket commentator, he was commentating on a spinner.
Yes.
As he was bowling, and he said he was literally making the ball speak to the batsman. Which would have been good.
It's the only time I'd go to cricket if that happened.
Yeah.
Footballers as well, famously, I'm literally over the moon.
Really?
Congratulations, well done. Right, so Gavin, you are now my petty rage partner.
Yeah.
Okay, so to help other petty ragers, we have opened a very special office here at Global Towers. Welcome to the Department of Petty... We're really looking forward to this. We are compiling a database of petty rage with the aim of finding people their petty rage partner, just like me and Gav.
Yeah.
Last time, we helped Rob find a petty rage partner in Ken. They both hate seeing blue and white police tape that's upside down.
Quite right.
And quite right too. That is now logged safely at the Department of Petty Rage. So 83936, what's your petty rage problem? We would love to hear from you. And we have somebody on the line right now. Hello, this is the Department of Petty Rage. What's your name and petty rage problem?
Hello, my name is Mark, and my petty rage is warm puddings and particularly warm fruit.
Warm fruit.
Now, Mark, where are you in the world right now?
I'm in Sutton Coldfield.
Now, is the dessert menu there quite commonly faced with the problem of warm desserts with fruit in there?
It's constantly covered with apple pies, warm chocolate puddings, the kind of things that really should be banned from every menu.
The menus are riddled.
What kind of cold puddings do you like?
It's all about ice cream.
Ah, see, great.
I see. There's some logic behind this.
A banana split, a Knickerbocker glory.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Traditional puddings.
Yeah.
Well, basically wimpy puddings. They are brilliant.
Now, Mark, if you...
There's no bigger hurt than brain freeze from an ice cream.
Mark, what's the zenith of your pain on this one? What's the worst possible dessert that could that really make you sick?
Apple pie with hot custard.
Oh. Hot apples.
I mean, it's wrong because you can't physically get to eat it quick enough because it's too hot it will burn you.
Yeah.
And there is no pudding, there is no food, in fact, that's better hot than cold.
Right. Now, take me to the source of this problem, Mark. When did this first happen? What was the moment where you suddenly realised this was a problem in your life?
It's got to come from childhood, really. I grew up playing a lot of sport. Two things happen. If you ignore your food, if you're distracted by any way, somebody else will eat it for you.
Yeah.
And if you don't eat it quick enough, it will all be gone.
Right.
So having it hot was always going to be a problem. It needed to be cold so it could be shoveled in quickly.
Right.
It makes sense. Now, Mark, in later life, has this caused you problems when you might have been on a date, perhaps?
Yeah, I very nearly didn't carry on seeing my now wife, my pregnant wife, on our first date. She actually ordered an apple crumble. It was very close at the moment to escaping out of the toilet window. Wow. But I went back and we did get married in the end.
Oh. If ever there was a test of your relationship, it would be that. It's apple crumbles, the deal breaker.
She doesn't eat them now. I've converted her.
What did you have as the pudding at your wedding breakfast?
We had vanilla ice cream.
Yes!
Oh, Mark, he's true to this petty rage. Do you find yourself maybe travelling when you see this kind of thing happening where somebody might eat a warm fruit? Do you have to say something? Are you inclined to make a comment?
I have to do quite a lot of work meals and they tend to do quite a lot, when it's mass catering, they tend to do quite a lot of hot puddings.
Right.
My derisory looks across tables don't seem to work, and a few times I've had to tell, or ignore bosses for a little while after they've had a warm pudding.
Good man, Mark.
While they eat a poached pear.
Mark, just what do you do for a living?
I work for Honda, so I sell cars for Honda.
Right, okay. So luckily in that line of work, you're not faced with too many hot puddings. But I can understand this one. You know what we're going to do, Mark? We're going to give you Dr. Sunta Templeton as your caseworker. And what we're going to do is we're going to see if we can find you a petty rage partner. So 83936, can we find Mark a petty rage partner? Do you share his pain? Or if you've got another petty rage problem, please text us and let us know. There might be somebody out there for you, or you could just be a crazed loner. Mark, what do you reckon? Do you think this is one you're going to share with people?
I think this is something everybody can get on board with.
And if they're not, you're going to start. The movement starts today, Mark.
It'll be a campaign, yeah.
Good man, Mark in Sutton Coldfield. Thank you very much for sharing your petty rage with us. Get in touch, 83936. I'm sure we'll find you a partner on this one. Now, Gavin, you are logging new cases. What have you got for us?
Some fascinating new cases, Gordon.
Good.
Helen in Isleworth hates the use of the word zenith when... when nadir is more appropriate.
Yes.
Because peak versus trough there, isn't it?
I think she might be doing that because I might have used the word zenith incorrectly earlier on. Apologies.
It's very likely. Yeah, and number ending 321, putting on T-shirts back to front. I'm an adult. It shouldn't happen. Livid.
I still do that as well.
I still do it
too. Oh, it's dreadful, isn't it? Thank you very much, Gavin. Now, on to our current case, Mark in Sutton Coldfield. He has a very particular hatred. He has a hatred of warm puddings, more specifically, warm fruit.
Mm.
And we are all warming to this as well. He's definitely got a point. Now, Sunta, you're heading this one up. What's the latest?
A lot of support for Mark.
Yes.
Martin says, who wants third-degree burns from a sweet? Number ending 863 agrees, says apple crumble is a filth dessert and should be abolished. Also, Tom says, I hate hot fruit puddings and my in-laws take it as a personal insult. In their eyes, pudding is life. And also, finally, OMG, 100% agree with Mark. I hate hot puddings, and that person should be on the line now. Caller 2, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm Chloe, and I'm Mark's petty rage partner.
Ah, hey, welcome aboard, Chloe. Now, it seems like there's a lot of people in the same boat as you here. Can you just explain your hatred of the warm pudding?
I just can't... I think it comes from being a child, and every day at school dinners, it was like lumpy, warm custard that had been reheated all like afternoon. It makes me feel sick.
I can totally understand that, Chloe. Thank you for sharing your rage with us. Now, Chloe, I'd like to introduce you to our friend Mark in Sutton Coldfield. Mark, please meet Chloe.
Hi, Chloe.
Chloe.
Hi, Mark.
Meet Mark. Now, this is a shared pain. I wonder if you'd do us a favour, Chloe, maybe explain a recent episode you've had with the warm pudding to our friend Mark in Sutton Coldfield.
Well, my mum and dad have a plum tree in their garden. And so when it's the season for picking the plums, which has been recently, there's just plum crumble, plum pie. It's all Mama makes. And it's just it's so frustrating.
Mark, do you share that pain? Can you understand that agony?
Oh, there's nothing worse than a warm plum.
Oh, that sounds brutal. It sounds brutal.
We should let them chat, shouldn't we?
Yeah, let's just leave those two chatting about their shared hatred. Oh, he's not a crazed loner, Mark. I think he's got a lot of support. I think all of us are including that. We will continue the important work of finding people their petty rage partner. Join us next week at the Department of Petty Rage.
Radio X.
Right, I've been looking forward to this all week. Cannot believe I'm back here covering from Johnny, getting to do this magical radio feature. It's outstanding, right? Martin, in the Radio X office, has had a broken hot tap for over, 5 years now, maybe? More than that. Who knows? It doesn't matter.
Long
it inspired
time.
This feature. Could you like to clear your throat? All together now.
Martin's hot tap, he needs a brand new one. But he can't be asked to get it done. Martin's hot tap been broken for so long. But what have you faced that went wrong?
Oh, love it! Such a pleasure to be here singing along on the radio. Oh man, if you want to try and sing the Martin's Hot Tap theme, please send your effort to johnny@radiox.co.uk. As the song says, we're after all those things you can't be arsed to fix. Not only are we celebrating your apathy, but also your ingenuity. Please use the hashtags as well, MHT and CBA, which is Gav?
Can't be arsed.
Said beautifully. Send those examples in 8396 or email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Now, Gavin, have you got our hot tap update for us?
I have. This one's from Gaz in Preston. So this is an update of a hot tap we've previously had, but it explains itself. Gaz says, my wife, Kathy, sent you guys a hot tap where I couldn't be asked to fix the stair gate at the bottom of the stairs.
It was to stop our little boy climbing them. Instead, I just put a heavily loaded suitcase at the bottom, which blocked his path. Guess what? It's now sorted. Freddy has grown and is more than capable of climbing the stairs unaided. I've moved the suitcase.
Yeah, job done. Where, though? Yeah. To where?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, where's the suitcase?
Well, Freddy's taking it with him to university.
Ah, I see.
Ah, yes. Did he shove the stairgate in the suitcase? Yes,
just as a reminder of home. Cinta, what have you got for us?
This has come in from an anonymous.
Ooh. From anonymous?
From anonymous.
What, the international hacking group?
Yes. No, I think it'll be clear as why they want to stay unnamed. I accidentally took off my wing mirror glass in my dad's 1996 Astra. Instead of fixing it, I put some kitchen foil over where the mirror used to be. A month later, I've replaced the foil twice and he hasn't noticed.
That's great work.
Oh, mirror signal manoeuvre. Yeah. Not in that case. That's brilliant stuff. Right, Karen, in a place I can't pronounce, anybody like to help me?
Cheswardine.
Thank you for that, Cinta. On the news. When I lived in Manchester, I watched our next door neighbour put up a new washing line across the garden. He quickly realised it was too low and clothes touched the ground. He couldn't be arsed to raise it higher, so instead, he dug a trench
what?
Beneath it.
That's much more work.
What?
That makes no sense.
That's madness.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Please tell a friend about us and get them to download and subscribe, rate and review as well if you're feeling generous. Thank you, Gav.
Thank you, Gordon. Radio X.